We're right there. That's what today is. We're right there. Tomorrow is Friday. Yeah. It's Thursday.
Told you.
It's Friday Eve.
Yes, it is Friday Eve.
My friends.
Yes, Felicia, it is Friday
Thank
Eve.
Thank you, Beal.
Did you invent that phrase, Friday Eve? Felicia?
I believe I did.
I think you probably should get more credit then, because that's a great phrase.
My partner on air, Pat Cassidy.
The best. The Sundance Kid.
He invented the term breakfast lovers.
Oh, he did?
Yes, because we've been working together in the morning for quite some time.
For years and years.
Hello, breakfast lovers. I also have a good one in this warm weather, Bill.
What do you say?
It's called, I have the right to bear arms.
I've heard you say that.
Meaning short sleeves.
Yeah, that's great.
You get it?
You thought of that?
Yes.
That's you're like a fountain.
Thank you very much.
Of ideas, a fountain of ideas. Well, Felicia, really, you should really get the credit for all these phrases, because I always
wonder... Where do I get that credit?
The Library of Congress. You got to go to the Library of Congress and tell them you've invented these phrases.
I will ponder that.
Think about that.
I will do that. Thank you, Bill.
The lovely Felicia stopping in. Welcome to the show. This is the Stream of Consciousness. It's the bonus hour where, from time to time, super celebrity guests like Felicia just show up and we welcome them with open arms, or bare arms in her case.
That's a great line.
You've already had quite a morning. You've had a full day. I mean, even before work, you were out there doing busy work.
I thought I was going to be late today, and yeah. I'm very proud of myself for actually adhering to a schedule, which you know is very difficult for me.
Today you budgeted your time very well.
I did. We had to leave the house at 20 minutes to 8 to get to the high school at 8 o'clock, so my son Dylan could register for, this is like you get your books, you get your ID taken.
Yeah.
And we had to pick up his friend Clark, so we had to leave the house at 20 to 8 in order for me to get there at 8 o'clock start time.
First in line?
I'm about the third.
Third in line? That's not bad.
And then I wanted to get in, get out so I could get here on time.
Yeah.
And guess what time we left the house? I wanted to leave at 20 to 8.
I'm going
to
say 20 to 8.
21 minutes to 8.
Look at you.
I know.
How do you do it?
I typically don't. I typically have a schedule and I'm unable to follow it.
But today you did.
Yeah, and that's like
confusing.
I know, ridiculous that you know I give myself credit for staying on task, but I did all day.
You got here. If I can make a note of this, you got here earlier than you normally get here.
I was a little later.
Yeah,
I've been getting here about 9:40 lately.
Yeah,
Today I got here at 9:50.
That's amazing. That's admirable.
I just like how you notice I got here earlier than usual. No, I didn't.
I thought you did. I wasn't used to seeing you in that early. That was, somebody had to tell me who you were.
But I feel vigorous.
Do you? Oh,
I do because I got...
You got so much done in one day.
I did, and now we're going to have this safety meeting that...
Yeah, safety meeting.
Was supposed to be from 3 to 4.
But it's been extended.
Well, we don't know that.
It's an extra hour.
The earlier... We have to talk to the people who went to the 11 o'clock one. Oh, they're not back, so it's gone beyond an hour.
Of it. I know. They wanted it to last the same amount of time as the new Mission Impossible movie. That was their goal. They said, how long is Mission Impossible 6? Yeah, we can match that. We'll make our meeting last that long. I'm telling you, it's a good thing. I know it seems like a lot. And I'm saying that now because I haven't sat through this two-hour meeting yet, but I think it's better to know how to get out of here should there be a disaster in the building.
Yeah, I need to know these things. However, I know you're worried because... You and I have known each other and worked together a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually when they say at the end of a presentation, are there any questions?
You always have a dozen questions.
I know. Yep. I'm not going to say anything.
You are the kid who in school, as the bell would ring and the teacher go, oh, I forgot to give out homework. You'd go, well, you have to give out homework. We need homework. And everyone would go, uh-oh.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
I just like things to last.
No, well, maybe I do like people. I like being around people.
Many times they'll have us meet with clients, potential advertisers of the show, and they give their pitch, sometimes shorter, sometimes longer. And then comes the Q&A portion, and you have some questions.
A lot of cues.
Yeah, a lot of cues.
I'm going
to. Leads to a lot of the A's.
Jasmine, you and Bill, I give you permission to. I'm wearing flip flops today. I know it's not dress code. They'll probably say in this meeting that no longer can you wear flip flops because in case of an emergency, you could slip.
Yeah.
Or break your toe.
Dangerous. Yep.
But you have my permission to step on my feet on one of them if I ask a question, unless it's a legitimately good question.
Okay.
Give us an example of what would be considered a legitimately good question today.
Well, I'm going to, you know, if they don't explain it, and I will take notes.
Yeah. You will?
I really am.
You will
in
take
the
notes,
ass.
I bet.
I really will. I just, this is life or death.
It potentially could be. Yeah. So you want to know, but I think, and I haven't been to the meeting yet, of course, that comes later, but I think they could probably accomplish the same by just taking us on a quick 5 minute. Here's where the stairs are.
I know.
These are the elevators. Don't get in them if there's a fire. Take the stairs or don't take the stairs, depending on what the circumstance is.
Right. And that's, if they don't cover it, I'm going to say, okay, first of all, let me just say, I love you and I trust you, but you don't 100% pay attention to procedure, and sometimes you're the one to go rogue.
In a situation like I told you on my flight back from Boston a couple of weeks ago, I had the airplane that seat that was by the exit. So I did legitimately, because I thought, wow, people's lives depend on me. And I was a very, very good flyer that day.
But they didn't, because Jimmy Mack did that, too, on the way home from California. He wanted the extra room.
Yeah.
And they need a verbal, do you agree to take this responsibility?
Yeah.
There is no pay attention. They don't say, they don't
remember how
there was no special training. They just said, you know, people who are sitting in the emergency rows have to give us a vocal confirmation that they understand. So I was sitting right in front of them, and I heard the flight attendant say, so if in case of an emergency, if you are sitting in this row, you will have to assist the flight crew in getting people off the plane.
Yeah.
And we may be here. We may not. If not, you need to take that responsibility. Do you all agree? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. There was no other thing. You just get people off the plane. They didn't go through how you open the door.
Ours did that. Ours did that.
There was nothing on either flight.
There's like a wheel that needed to be turned clockwise, and she said you push in on this, and then you move. And I said okay. I said aye, because I thought aye was more appropriate.
But what are you, SpongeBob?
I thought it made aye, sense Captain. At that point to say aye, and I stood very erect. I stood very tall.
You're filthy.
I get excited. You know, a lot
that's
of people.
That's even worse. Don't say that.
People's lives depended on me, Wendy. It's a very exciting time for me. So I said aye a couple of times, and I gave a special salute like that, like Benny Hill.
Again, your salute.
Backwards salute. Like, I don't know why I did that.
He sat erect and then gave a salute.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I just wanted everybody to have a good time.
What, did you need that row because you needed more room?
Yes.
His tray table will not go down.
And that's not all. Anyway, I wanted the people whose lives depended on me to know that I was in it for the long haul, that I wasn't just a pretender.
What if that was a 2-hour meeting to sit in that row?
I would have been out of there in 20 minutes.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. I love you. I trust you.
Yeah.
I really do. And
thanks.
I would look to you like if something was going wrong, you know, you're the first person I'd look at.
How scary is that?
That's why I'm going to pay attention today so I can be on my own.
Right.
I can spread my wings
well,
and fly.
I think should this building, and boy, this is the biggest hypothetical, you know, should this building have some sort of a mishap, I would like to help anybody, but also everybody, everybody.
All for one, one for
all.
Well,
yeah, for the most part. I certainly would stick around and help, but I got to survive too, you know.
Yeah.
Right? Don't you?
I know. That's why I'm going to pay attention today. And if I have a question that isn't covered.
Right.
Like Ryan Burrow earlier in the day told us that if there's a floor, if there's a fire and it's below you, depending on instructions.
Right.
Chances are you may have to stay put on your floor. Like if there's a fire on floor 6, we're on 18.
Stay where you are.
But again, they will explain over the loudspeaker.
Yeah. But now, I don't know if you know this about me. I'm wearing a parachute right now. I always have a parachute.
You're wearing parachute pants.
That's the
There's
same thing.
A difference.
Oh, it's not the same thing?
No, and they're very out of date.
Well, MC Hammer told me they never go out of date, and I trust him. So I like you, but MC Hammer's MC Hammer. So if he tells me something, I'm going to pay attention to
it. All right.
All right. So I think all this will be good. I'm not looking forward to today's meeting, but I'm sure that we'll all...
It needs to happen.
We'll get something out of it. I'm positive we'll get something out of
and
it.
And I am proud of our management team to tell us that this is mandatory.
Right.
Because, I mean, there are people that would blow this off.
Right. But the way you ask, you go, is this mandatory? You always have this question... where you squint and you turn your head sideways. This is mandatory? Like, I can get out of this, right?
I want to do this. You're on board for this. Yeah.
All right.
It's just one of our bosses is out of town, and this was the mandatory day.
How convenient was that?
Kind of weird.
We're not going to mention his name, but I said, Todd, you can't be gone during this meeting. This is mandatory. He's out of here.
And just so you know, Judy Pylak usually comes in at 12:30 to do our headlines here on the stream, the stream of consciousness, the bonus hour, Bill F. Unleashed.
Oh.
She's not here, which means she was at the 11 o'clock conference.
It's still going on.
Okay, that is not a good sign.
Here's what I was told by other members of the management team is that they were going to convince them that this had to be narrowed down to an hour because we were all told an hour, and some of us, not me, but for the sake of argument, I'm going to say me, had made other plans that at the hour mark we had to be somewhere.
Playing tennis today?
No, I got something. Did I tell you, one of the guys I used to do stand-up with years and years and years and years ago is in town for something. And there's a gathering of guys, you know, we all kind of started together. And I'm thinking of going to
this.
You
should.
You know what's weird, though, is I haven't seen him in 25 years.
All the more reason to go.
That's probably right, isn't it?
Yeah.
I should go just for that.
Can you say who it is?
AJ Lentini.
I know who that is.
You know him? Yeah, we started doing stand-up. He started a year before me, but he's lived out in California for 25 years. I haven't seen him since he moved out there. So they're putting this thing together for him.
You should totally go.
Yeah. All right, maybe.
Are
I'll
you
go.
Facebook friends with him?
Yeah, but I don't know. That doesn't count, does it?
No, but you've been friends with him. I just know cuz my childhood friend Carla Felicia was a stand-up comic who I knew her. She knew you. I hadn't met you yet.
Right.
I mean, you guys kind of all started around the same time.
She started a year before me also.
Because I know AJ because of her.
Yeah.
I don't know him personally, but I know
of
him.
Are you Facebook friends with him?
I don't know. I got to look. Will you tell him to accept me?
I think, yeah, I can convince. If I see him tonight, that's the one thing.
Why wouldn't you go? Really? Because you haven't seen... there are other people that are going to attend this that you've seen... in the past 25 years, right?
I think, Wendy, because my head will be so full of safety knowledge from the meeting that I won't have time for my old friends.
Take your vest off when you go to the party, will you?
You say take it off? Because I was going to wear it to impress him.
No.
Like, I go, what have you been up to in the last 25 years? And I'll go, I am a safety commissioner at my new building.
Don't.
That would impress
him. Don't tell him
that.
Maybe you shouldn't go.
You don't think I should go?
Maybe you shouldn't go. I'm
right.
Not sure.
I'm not going to go.
All right. We may check in with Judy Pylak if she's back from the safety meeting that the building is having, or I believe Ryan Burrow might be filling in for her.
All right.
So the suspense is here.
Yeah.
Kind of can't wait to see.
It's like an Alfred Hitchcock movie, isn't it? All right. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll find out who's going to do the news. Whoa. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right. The mystery has been solved. I wonder if we should have done a pool.
On how long today's safety meeting would take?
No, on who was going to come in to do the news.
Oh.
We didn't know if Judy would be back in time or if it would be Ryan Burrow.
Right.
I take this very seriously. Yeah, I would not miss this.
Of course you do.
I know. I am not trying to get out of this meeting because this is stuff that I need to know. It's life or death.
It is good. Yes. I have never worked in a high-rise before, I realized. I mean, the Tribune was a high-rise, but we were on the first floor. For most of my career, I was on the first floor.
Right.
Now, we did go to 4 and then up to 7, but even that, 7 flights,
we were on the 37th floor at the Hancock.
Yeah.
And then at Merchandise Mart... 19?
Oh, so you might know a lot. I didn't know any of this. You know, the two stairways, stairwells and the...
Yeah.
Now, the active shooter thing, I have brushed up on my own because I feel like everyone should.
Just
in
case.
There's a really good video online. I think probably if you just on YouTube typed it in and it's like 10 minutes. If you're going
to
hide, here's how you should hide, Turn the light off in the room.
But don't you think active shooters are also monitoring those videos going,
maybe,
oh, yeah,
but
well,
they,
I got
yeah,
my own
but
ideas.
You know, in an active shooter situation, I mean, it's over pretty quick.
Yeah.
They get the job done and then it's, but the problem is very most cases, they do get the job done, unfortunately, and then police arrive on scene.
Right. That's why I want to get out of here. Yes. I don't want to hide.
Right. Mm-hmm. See, and I think if you have to, though, if you have to hide, and then if you have to fight, it's good to know what to do if you are in a position that you're going to have to, you know, you're going to make contact with the shooter.
You know what I would do? I would punch out one of these ceiling tiles.
Climb to the ceiling.
Yeah.
Okay, now you just told everyone. Darn it.
Okay, first of all, if I had a gun, I would probably shoot at the ceiling just for thinking that people would be up there.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Because you could step on some of these bigger equipments to help get yourself up there.
But it's really good to know what you can use as a weapon.
A pen.
If you need to. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Put a Coke can in a sock. So I got to go. I got to bring a sock in tomorrow. A bat. I'm bringing a bat in. I don't care. And nylon. How you can use things. A stapler. I mean, there are. You know, you need to know what to do just in case.
Yeah.
And do they cover this in the meeting?
Yes.
All right.
See. They tell you. They'll tell you the things you can do if you have to confront.
Me. You just came from the 11 o'clock showing. Mm-hmm. It was an hour and 15 minutes.
It was free.
It was free.
The morning one was 2 hours.
The morning one was under two.
Yeah, we'll get it down to a one.
If we can get it at one, but how much of that would you say is legitimate time well spent? Like,
the majority is the fire safety. Oh, yes, the majority. Yeah. And then the active shooter. And, you know, I think we could probably even use another
zombie attack. What about zombie attack?
There were no zombie attacks.
Nothing?
No. Mm-hmm. But I had questions, and I, you know, we had to wrap it up.
Jude.
So, yeah.
She and I are very similar.
I promise not to ask questions at the end. But here's the thing. Most of it's the fire situation. I mean, people in high rises, there's not a lot you can do. I mean, I'm sorry. You don't use the elevators. You try and find the exits. You try and get out.
No, but number one, I would try to get out if there were fire. No,
I would too.
You don't. You sit tight. You listen.
It depends what they tell you.
And the stairwell. I didn't never realize the fire department. Well, so there's two stairwells in every building. The fire department will take over one of those. You do not want to get into that one because they're going to open all the doors to get the hoses up, and that's going to cause all the fire and smoke to come in. But it's okay because they're prepared for that. You, of course, are not. So you want to go to the other stairwell.
How do you know which one?
They will tell you
over the announcement.
They have these procedures. The minute they get here, they, you know, manually shut down the elevators so you can't use them. I mean, that's a great plan.
They
open all the doors. That's my big fear. And that's what happened at 69 Washington.
They got trapped in the stairwell.
Now they've changed that. They should unlock them. And if not, the fire department, when they get on scene, will manually do it. So, I mean, there are just all these fail safes, I think.
I know from seeing The Towering Inferno, the last thing you want to do is hang out with Robert Vaughn during the fire. I know that for a fact.
Or Vic. Yes.
Vic Vaughn.
Yes.
I never even thought of that.
I want to know who our wardens are because that's going to really be important to me.
So they become...
I would like to pick the wardens.
So let's explain. The wardens are the people within your business, within WGN, who are kind of assigned safety roles, right?
The elevator warden, the one who tells you what to do.
Which one are you?
Are you one of them?
I have not been. I was one in the Tribune Tower. I was the elevator.
Didn't you nominate yourself? Don't you want to
be one?
Don't you think if there's going to be a warden, it's going to be me?
You should definitely be
you. You're a warden every day of your life.
You need two because I'm not here all the time. But yeah, you need that person to keep people calm, tell them what to do. I mean, answer the phone.
I want it to be you.
And by the way, the most important thing I learned is call 911 because
they may not know.
Everybody assumes everyone else is doing it.
And that sets in motion.
Yeah.
This is the part I didn't know. That 911 call will automatically send two fire trucks, you know, five cop cars, two ambulances. I mean, it's just standard. So if you've got seven people calling 911, well, the reaction's much bigger. So it's really imperative to call 911.
Yeah, right. Okay, I'll call them. I'll call them
if there's an emergency.
Right.
You know how many times I called 911 at the old building because dial out was 9, then you had to dial 1. We did it all the time. They constantly call the newsroom. Did you call 911? No.
I don't want her to be the warden anymore.
You don't?
This seems like
phone.
A careless mistake.
Oh.
All right, well, you pick your own warden then.
Pick over Judy, Wendy? I don't know who I would pick.
I've X'd you off my list now.
Oh.
If I see you cowering,
she won't save
you. I will walk over you.
Oh, no.
Leave her.
She dissed me.
Dave Bennett would be a good warden. I would vote for Dave.
Dave Bennett would be good,
I would vote for
Dave.
You
need someone who's calm.
He's calm.
No, I've told you
I freeze. You're not calm.
I've told you I freeze during emergencies, but...
with other people, you'd be good at
I have
them.
Been, yes. I have been good. But no, I wouldn't want that responsibility. Really.
No, it's
I would
lot.
Do it if they asked me, but I think Stephanie's the warden. Did you see my picture?
Yes,
I posted?
She posted a picture. That does not make me feel good. Well, y'all, we got to get out because they're going to bring the warder in.
First, it would be, how does this vest look on me?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And she would say,
she cannot be
this fire is like when Atlanta burned during Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
Everything has a southern flair.
Oh, I should have worn these curtains look on me.
I should have worn different shoes, but Tabitha gave me these to wear.
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't want her to do it. I'm sorry. You're I don't feel safe. Well,
you're back in.
Yeah.
I don't feel safe having her do
it. No. All right.
Well, there are many. It's not one person.
There's several.
There are several people who have different jobs.
Yeah.
She would lift the spirits.
And, you know, like I said, if you are going to have problems in the stairs, then you're a special case. And there's a warden for that, too, who takes care of the special needs of anyone.
I don't have special needs.
Oh, okay. Your knees are all good?
I was telling you off the air, if it's life or death and it hurts, who cares? It works. So, yeah,
right.
I could get down the stairs.
Well, what happens if you have an issue, though? That's what I'm saying.
What happens if you twist your ankle?
Right. I will need them, too, then. That's good that there's a person who does special needs.
I don't want to have a special needs person.
Okay, so now you got to get on the little bus, okay? It's a person who will help you.
Well, if I need help, trust me. Even Bill, despite the fact that he'd be in a hurry to get out.
I'd probably help you.
Yeah, if Judy fell, I saw one of you that fell, I'd pick you up and go, come on, let's go. Yeah.
Are you sure with Bill? I'm looking at Bill thinking he's going to run over people. Screaming in a girl voice.
No, that he won't do, but he will get out. And then once he's out, he'll act like a tough guy, like, I was telling everybody to do this and do that, but I'm kidding.
No, really.
Kidding.
I think, Bill, you would help people.
I would trust him in a minute.
I know, and I think you could. You're the calming force. You would just tell jokes the whole time.
Oh, that's nice of you, Judy.
Right?
I probably would, but despite being told to not leave the building, don't try to go downstairs.
I have
to be honest. I think I would.
Well, it's funny. He said pre 9/11, they couldn't get people out of the building. Nobody wanted to leave. He goes post 9/11,
everyone
leaves, and they shouldn't.
Yeah,
it just depends.
I mean, where the fire is located in regard to your location.
Yeah.
And Ryan Burrow earlier today had said that in various situations, if there's a fire, they will tell you over the loudspeaker, the fire's on floor 7, you're on 18, stay put, firemen will reach you. We also learned that the snorkel does not get up to floor 18. So Bill's saying, and I believe it, even though instructions say, please remain in your suite, we'll be there as soon as we can, it would be very, emotionally, it would be very difficult to listen to them.
Right, especially if you knew it was on, like, floor 15.
Right. I will listen to them.
And sometimes they'll tell you to go up.
Right. Oh.
That's weird. Because you know why? That, again, an interesting little point, because they need the floors above and below to work on the fire and to triage all their stuff they need to do, all their equipment. So, yeah, that would be difficult to go up.
I'll make you.
Mm.
You know,
okay, Frankenstein.
Here's the funny part.
Fire bad.
Well, you forget we're on the air and we're supposed to stay on the air.
Oh, right.
You're just leaving
your microphone?
Yeah.
See, in the news department, we don't do that.
Yes, you would.
Even during...
Listen.
Emergencies we've stayed in the newsroom.
Okay, this is a hypothetical, and God forbid, you got to say it like that, ever happen. If there's a fire and where we have to be evacuated, you would not... The listeners don't care about what we're broadcasting.
No, if I'm evacuated, I'm evacuated. But I'm saying if people are choosing to, you know, all right, I'm going to go for it. We stay to the bitter end.
Mm-hmm.
Not me.
Mm-mm.
I remember, you know, 9/11, I was scared to be in that building.
Mm-hmm.
I was scared to be in that building. And I was off that day. I came in on my day off.
That's good.
With my 4-year-old.
That was silly.
Well, I had him. He was with me. That's what I mean. And I, the whole time, I was just like, what am I doing? Because the scene downtown was what made me scared. Everyone flooding out of downtown, crying on their phone. You know, I couldn't even get through.
Really weird.
Yeah. So, I mean, and in that case, I think obviously they told everyone to go home if you wanted.
Right.
My boss, Jeff Schwartz, at the time called, and I had worked. My husband and I would commute in. He was the production director, and I was on the air at WCKG. And he called and said, go pick up your kids at daycare. Go be together. Go home. Do not even bother coming in.
So what did they put on the air there?
Well, I know Steve Dahl was on and decided to, wanted to come in. I mean, this is the day people need you, which is a smart and great broadcasting rule of thumb. That's the day people needed to talk. And Marianne Murciano, came in and worked with him. So they were on for quite some time.
Wow. Yeah. See, and that's what was my point. It was, if there was ever a day people needed to know what was going on, it was that day.
It is.
Yeah.
Totally.
We needed to have as many
and
people.
And just so many questions and people like in disbelief that, you know, and again, going back to it, everybody thought it was a small plane crash and no big deal.
By the time I got here, it was still ongoing.
Yeah.
I mean, that plane we didn't know about the plane yet in Pennsylvania.
Right.
Wow. Or the second plane into the building at that time.
Well, no, that did.
I didn't know.
When that second one hit is when I said, uh-oh,
yeah.
And I called
There's
work.
More to this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, you got to go to the training. It's just an hour, and you know he's pretty good about getting in and out. I think as the day goes on, he gets better and better. Yeah,
because I imagine he doesn't like doing this either.
It's not like he went on and on.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
He just did it. And
all right, let's do some news.
We have to take a break.
Break first, and then some news. No, news first. News first.
Okie dokie. I'm hearing two different things. So I guess you introduce.
Would you like me to decide?
Let me formally introduce you, Judy. You deserve at least that. You know what I found out last week during the ceremonies for the Hall of Fame game?
Hmm.
There are more Chicago Bears in the NFL Hall of Fame than any other team.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed that in a million years.
I know. That's quite incredible when you think about it. Well, but the Bears were a force.
The Bears have been around for a long time.
To be reckoned
and
with.
Even
in
when the team
years.
Was bad, not like today, but during years where the Bears had a poor team, they always had one or two guys that were exceptional.
Right.
They always had like a Walter Payton or a Dick Butkus or a Gale Sayers, those kind of guys who were very deserving of the Hall of Fame. So now Brian Urlacher, the latest Bear to be in, and they said that the Bears have more guys in the Hall of Fame than any other team.
I feel like that's true about the Cubs, too.
I don't know if that's true.
The Cubs have, you know, they didn't ever won until just recently.
Right.
And they had, I mean, I can actually name so many
great Cubs players. Right. Yeah, guys like Billy Williams and Ferguson Jenkins and Ernie Banks and Ron Santo. Greg Maddux, right? So, yeah, there is something to that, certainly. Hmm. Definitely. Will they cover that at the building meeting?
Yes, that's how I knew.
Good.
Because they had so much time. You'll be there till 5, by the way.
Oh, yay.
Was Roe there? Was Roe at the 11 o'clock?
Yes, he was.
Now, he's prone to panic.
He looked a little scared.
Yeah.
I said, don't worry. When the time comes, I'll take care of the show.
Probably the most panicky of any WGN staffer, wouldn't you agree?
I'm a close second.
You're close, but I think he edges you out.
He might edge you out because anything can set him off.
Yeah.
Cloudy day.
Yeah.
Rain in the forecast. But it was interesting because the retired fireman who was doing the presentation used Brian, Rose producer, for it to say, okay, I've got a gun here. Now, what do you do? And I leaned over to Paul Rennie, was sitting next to me.
Yeah.
Rennie, is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, he's Navy. And sure enough, Brian just grabbed the, you know, he knew exactly what to do.
And the guy
was really impressed and later said, I hope you're around if anything does happen.
What time does Brian get in? Because I will feel much better. We're here, you know, about 9 to...
Yeah. Yeah, a little
1:30.
Bit
later after that, right?
But he's here, you know, all day.
Yeah.
The work ethic on some of these people, I just don't get it.
You're supposed to think that, but not say that.
You know what's funny? Wendy, I say that on a daily basis, but I think I use a different tone.
Yes.
Wow, the work ethic on some people here, it's crazy.
Yeah, I don't have filters sometimes.
You know, Wendy and I leave almost when the show's over. Sometimes if there's something important, we stay, and you know, but for the most part, we leave very soon after the show's over. And as you like in the old configuration of WGN, nobody saw Wendy or I leave because the studio was right next to the door.
Wasn't it great?
So we could just walk out and leave.
Now, do you guys feel like guilty?
Yeah. Here's what everybody says as we make our way from our office to the door. Where are you going? I was going to go home. Go home? What? Like nobody believes it.
Mm-hmm. When they ask me, I always just say, oh, I got to go grab something in one of the other offices.
Yeah, that's smarter.
And then I never come back.
you should like go put your purse somewhere first and then just walk like you're going to the bathroom and then never come back.
Yeah.
Marlene Wells, who has been a member of WGN for decades and decades and decades.
She works like 15 hours a day, too.
And works a full day. Whenever she sees me, like I'm heading toward the elevator, she goes, you're kidding. You're going home?
I can see her doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I was going to go home.
I've been here for 4 hours.
Right, put in my time.
Exhausted. Again, though, when we were choosing our career, part of the great things about radio is I liked to talk. I don't really like to dress up very much, which is why I hate having the stream here, because you could hide behind the microphone.
But well, that's interesting, because you do dress up.
Not really.
She does.
I am working with the best partner in the world because he never dresses up.
I'm not saying you're like dressy, but you...
I try not to be sloppy.
You don't roll out of bed. Yeah, you have makeup on, your hair is done.
Some days.
Yeah.
No, I don't think you're leaving the house.
Also, you know, when you worked in radio, you had short shifts for the most part.
But see, that to me seems like a newer thing because in the day... people were here, like, they came in hours before for show prep, and then they were always here
show
having
prep.
Me.
What is that?
Yeah. Oh, there. You know, maybe we should just stop talking.
But I came from, like, before I did radio, my job was stand-up, where I worked 45 minutes or an hour a day. Now, there were other elements that went into it. You had to write the material that you were going to say on stage. You had to do research. Yeah,
while you're lying
like
in bed on a scratch pad. Okay.
So now this job is actually the longest work day I've had.
Yeah, you must be exhausted.
Oh, it's so tiring, Jim.
But, I mean, everything.
You two are kind of pissing me off a little bit right now, I got to tell you.
We pissed Bertrand off earlier, so welcome to our world. But, I mean, most of your day is spent observing and finding stuff on the internet to talk about. So it's like... It's just you don't do it all in one period, but you know,
but
there's
you're
a
always,
lot of stuff
yeah,
that
you're
goes
always
into
working,
it.
Right?
Yeah.
Not always, but a lot more than it appears. Let's put it that way.
For a while on the night show, it was a 6-hour shift.
You
for
were
me.
The longest show on the air in Chicago history.
John that was Williams, difficult.
Not just Chicago history. John Williams looked it up. He said there's nobody in North America who has a longer talk shift than you do. He said there's
I worked
a couple
with you
people
a couple
with 5
times.
Hours. I know. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. But I was like, is he ever going to leave? I mean, it was a long... Because as you know, I was here for 8 hours, which, by the way, just to remind you guys, is the pretty usual American...
The standard shift is 8 hours.
Yeah, work shift.
Except if you're in radio.
Except if, yeah, well, there are a lot of exceptions.
Right.
Just radio.
Radio and...
Pretty much. Because even the TV people...
Just radio, yeah.
Yeah.
That's different.
But the TV people, like, are there for quite a long time. But they have to sit in the makeup chair.
Well, there are some people in TV that do, you know, in the old days, the news was on at 6 o'clock and 10 o'clock. But now it's, depending on
what station you're at. 6, 7, 8, 9,
10. It's all over the place.
3, 4, 5, 6, yeah.
So there are guys who do, like, an afternoon shift or two and then stay at their TV station for the 10 o'clock news.
Yeah, that's, well, Channel 9. Right off
yeah,
the
they're
bat.
One of them.
I mean, they have, yeah.
Skilling's first report is at 4 or 4:30, right?
Yeah.
And he's still there at 10.
And he's on with us first.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's got a long, long shift. Blendy's like, oh, my God.
I honestly can't fathom that because every time you hear him or any of the other people that are on, it's like every report is as fresh as the last one.
Right, that's the key.
I mean, seriously, and Dean, his hours are like unreal.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. See, so it is funny. And when I got into this business, I mean, news, I knew I would be doing overtime. I mean, there were a couple years early in my career where I think I made more in overtime than my actual salary. That's just how it was. That things are so different now.
And
we do so much more work.
Oh, of course you do.
But it's so condensed. It's different. Well, you know what? I got the internet.
Yeah.
The internet changed everything.
Yeah.
Everything. Some for the good, some for the bad.
Yeah.
And I have to say this about Tom Skilling. You know, he works these long hours. And when do you know this about him? He's making minimum wage.
Well, the thing about Tom Skilling, I will say,
yeah.
He takes a lot of vacations.
Oh.
He's earned it, man.
He totally deserves them.
Is this anniversary his 40th?
Yes, 40th.
30th or 40th?
Yeah,
40th, right?
Yeah.
So you accrue, the longer you've been somewhere, you get more.
But, I mean, also, to our point, I think... Someone like that, he probably works 50 hours, maybe even
more
a week.
I think
so,
more.
Yeah, because he sometimes even is on the weekend. So someone like that, you better get a lot of vacation. I mean, so it's almost like being a firefighter or you know, 20, 48 on, 48 off, whatever. I mean, he takes, you know, I notice he's gone a lot, but he works a lot. So.
Yeah.
And God love nurses and firefighters, and I don't know who else does that kind of schedule where they're like on like for
paramedics
36 hours yep. straight and then off for 12. And it's like, you can't, your body will shut down.
I know. I can't imagine where I can't stay up for 24 hours.
I can't either.
Even when I was young, I'm a sleeper. I like 10 hours. I get 10
but
hours.
But over time.
You do?
I do every night.
Oh, good for you.
I get six and I need a nap in the afternoon.
Yeah,
then.
No, I need my sleep. I don't care about that.
But over time, you do, even though it seems impossible, your mind and body adapt to your schedule, you know?
Well, like the times when I worked with you, Bill?
Yes.
Yeah, it was, so those are just fill-ins, but there was one time where I did the overnight shift for, I think, 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Someone broke their leg or I don't mm-hmm. know, something happened. I think it takes years. No, I think you do adapt, but not, it takes a long
it's
time.
It's never regular.
I could not get used to it. Even and that was a long time.
Waking up at 3 a.m. was easier to me than staying up till 3.
Yeah.
You know, getting up at 3 to go do a morning show. I didn't love it, but there was something to be said for, you know, you see the day as it begins
right.
and you get in, you get out.
And doesn't your day seem longer?
Yeah.
Like I sleep in and I do feel like I miss a lot of the day.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I try to get up earlier, but.
But I had an easier time doing overnights. Wendy and I have worked mornings in a couple places. It was easier
that was
for
hard
me.
For you.
Impossible for me. Just
and
to get
I,
up
I can't morning. Stay up that late. Like when we worked overnights,
that was hard.
But I
it's
mean, hard to sleep
to
during the day too. I mean, you have to get your 8 hours of sleep when it's light out.
Listen,
it's hard.
Not everybody gets the 8 hours of sleep, and certainly not 10. I know we all need it, but
that's
it's just there aren't.
You, get 10.
You know, doesn't your puppy wake you up at 6:30
no,
in the morning?
No, he sleeps. He sleeps with me, and we both sleep 10 hours.
Wow,
he's great. Yeah, if he couldn't do it, we wouldn't have kept him.
Yeah.
Well,
is that
all
true?
Right, this is on wow. the air.
Sorry, puppy. You're not sleeping well enough. No. So, yeah, he'll wake up a little bit if I do. This is probably bad. I wake up at around 7-ish, but I can go back to sleep. That's what people can't do.
And you're mad at us. You're hating on us for our hours we work. You get to go back to sleep.
But I work 8 hours.
I know, but you got a leisurely start to your day. Oh. We wake up and like, oh my God, I'm running late. You don't have that feeling.
Wait a second. You start at 10.
That's early for me.
Okay, I'm back to being
hour.
Pissed at you two again.
It's still rush hour.
Right, rush hour.
Honest to God, if we leave here at 2:30.
Yeah.
It's fine, but 2:32 rush hour full blown already at 2:30. Remember the old days when rush hour was like, you know, from 8 to 9 in the morning,
and it was
and
one
from
way
5 to 6.
That's what shocks me. It was one way.
Yeah,
people came into the city, people
and then
left
they all
the city.
Went out.
Now see opposite.
Yeah,
I know.
It is.
Yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, okay. You know, oh boo hoo, wah wah for you too. 10 to 2.
I'm not sure you meant that. I'm not positive you meant that. Thanks,
enjoy
Judy.
The training today.
Oh, we can't wait.
And pay attention.
Yeah, we.
There's a girl sitting next to me
notes.
On her phone the whole time. I almost said something.
I would have.
I didn't know who she was.
Who
she was playing a game on her phone the whole time. I almost said you. She really
is it somebody you've seen before? Somebody at WGN?
You know, there was a lot of people there I didn't know. So
please point her out because I don't want to be going down her stairwell or whatever because she doesn't know what to
she's
do.
She's going to pay. She's not going to know what to do.
Yeah, and
I mean,
she'll
how can you
injured.
Not pay attention? Yep,
that's
crazy. Right.
Judy, thank you so much.
You bet.
Voice
Pilak.
Of reason.
The voice of reason.
Just
Wendy.
Call me
you
Warden.
Nailed. Yep.
Judy Pilak. She's who matters.
Yes. All right.
She's the stuff that matters.
A quick break and then we'll close
Hot
it all
stuff.
Off. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, let me show you something. Time to put our fire marshal Bill caps on and go learn something, Bill.
That is so frightening. I mean that in a good way.
I bet you do.
I mean that in a positive way. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks to Lee Bingbing. She was fantastic.
It's Bingbing Lee.
Bingbing Lee was on.
You're Billy Bingbing.
I wish I was.
Well, you can't.
I wish so badly to have been him. Tomorrow, Friday. How about that, everybody? You worked hard Monday. You worked hard Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It's going to pay off.
Finally.
Friday's tomorrow. Look forward to that. So we'll do the show for you. We'll do the special Friday edition of the show. It should be fun.
Maybe we'll go over some safety tips we learned.
I think we may have to
today
to make everybody's life a little safer. Yes,
right.
Absolutely. That's it. Bye, everybody. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Billy Bingbing.